It's such a privilege and joy to be here. I've been praying for a long time that this would be time well spent and encouragement for each of our walks. Joshua, we have a Joshua connection because what were they doing? They were going into a new land. They were going into the promised land, and they faced all kinds of obstacles as they moved through and went to establish themselves there. We too have the same challenges in our walk with the Lord today. The world is totally opposite to what the Lord has placed in our hearts. And so when Sue came to me and asked me, do you have anything in your heart that you might like to share in June? I said, let me just think about that for a little bit. And when I sat down and I prayed, just immediately, the Lord spoke something to my heart. And it's based on a word that he gave 6 or 8 weeks ago. And I don't usually remember everything that he says, but there was one phrase that really, really stood out to me. And that was, if you do not stand in me, you will not stand at all. It was just really, he was talking about the things that are going on in our world right now. Our nation is going through changes that none of us would even have imagined. Even 2 years ago, it's just dramatic. And that has just kept coming back to me. God, how do we stand in you so that we can stand? And so he brought that back to me, and immediately the armor of God came to me, and it seemed like it was a perfect finish to our adventures with Joshua, because they had to be clothed in the Lord as they moved into the promised land, didn't they? And what did we find when they ran ahead from God or just didn't even forgot to consult him? Did they have success? No, they did not. But as long as they consulted the Lord, they moved forward in victory. And they had to do very little fighting, actually killing of people, you know. The Lord just took care of it. And we saw, and I remember so clearly how they pursued the kings that went to whatever that, I can't remember right now, but anyway. And Joshua told those guys to step their heads on their necks, you know, because they represented sin. And we were called in that to take a strong stand against sin. So that brings us up to the things that are on my heart. And I've listened to Pastor Paul as he's been teaching through the Word. You know, you sense that same urgency. In fact, there have been so many times that he said something on a Sunday morning over the last month that I thought, I was going to use that. Wait a minute. You can't, you're stealing my teaching, and yet here I am, and I have so much more than I can even possibly cover. So I will just do the best of what I can. So let's just pray one more time. Lord God, we just want to come before you. I want to come before you, and I just ask that you would fill this room with your Holy Spirit, that you would open our ears, just unstop them, that you would give us hearts of clay that you can form. Lord, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear your love that is represented in the things that you have told us and the armor that you have given us to stand in. Father, I just pray for each one of us here, that if there's just one little morsel that you would have us glean, that you would just open our ears to catch that one phrase, that one thing that you want us to chew on for these summer months. Lord, maybe there's two. Maybe it's the whole armor. Maybe we need to just decide that for this summer, we're going to choose to take one portion and really focus on that. God, you know where we are on our spiritual journey with you, for you are the author and the finisher of our faith. And we just want to come along with you tonight. So we commit this time to you. Gather us into the shelter of your wings. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Okay, in Matthew 24, you don't need to turn to it, because I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it. But also this little thing that your name was written on. These are all of the scriptures that are contained in my little talk tonight, whether we get through them or not. I just kind of paraphrased a lot of them, and so I want you to have the ability to go back and look them up yourself if you want to. And you might, if you've kind of been quickened a little bit as you started or finished or whatever the study that you had before you, many of these scriptures are different than what you worked with. And so you could use that in your personal devotion time. That's the purpose of that. So I didn't want you to have to be looking for all that stuff. Okay, so back to. In Matthew 24, Jesus talks in depth about the end of the age. Now, we aren't going to read it now, but I hope you will take some time to do so this summer. In it, he says, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed." Okay, take hold of that, ladies, because what are we hearing right now? We're hearing of wars and rumors of wars. We watch as Israel is suddenly, the world is coming against her. All of that has been prophesied in the Word of God. We are seeing natural disasters increase more and more and more. But the Lord tells us, see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, famines, earthquakes. All these are the beginning of birth pains. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And that's where the Lord has taken me with that statement. If you do not stand in me, you will not stand at all. Because of the increase of wickedness, because lots of people are going to, well, and we see it in many of the mainline churches right now. They're kind of going towards the world. They are not sticking to the Word of God. That's how they're loved. They're just kind of drifting away because they're buying in hook, line, and sinker to the fact that there are many ways to God. But as we get into our study, we know that there are not many ways to God, don't we? But we who are of the faith need to have a firm foundation so that we can stand when everything is pressing against us. Matthew 25, then, begins with the parable of the 10 virgins. They took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish took their lamps but didn't take any oil with them. The wise took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was delayed in coming, and the ladies tired and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." And all the virgins awakened and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish one said, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," the wise replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way, the bridegroom arrived. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. The others came later and said, "Open the door for us." And he replied, he didn't know them. "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. They missed out because they were not ready. Had they grown weary in the wait? Had their love, excitement, and readiness grown cold? Perhaps they doubted even that the groom was really going to come." And those are things that we are challenged with in our society today. My heart is that we can press into the Word to find out how to keep ourselves ready, to live as children of the light, understanding that we need to be very careful how we live, not as wise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. These are the things that keep our wicks trimmed when we live as wise rather than unwise, as we make the most of every opportunity, as we understand what the Lord's will is. The armor is what He has provided to help us stand firm. But how do we put it on so that we are living in it? So we'll go ahead, and if you want to open up your Bibles to Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. And it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power." The original Greek would read something similar to this: "Be empowered in the Lord and in His dominion and strength." Be empowered in the Lord and in His dominion and strength. Ephesians 1, 19 through 23 describes that dominion. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened to His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority." Okay, so Jesus was raised from the dead. He traveled on the earth. He ascended into heaven. And what did God do? He put under Jesus' authority all powers, all authorities, everything, every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things, He placed all things under His feet and appointed Jesus to be the head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. So what did that just tell us? It says He is over everything. He fills everything in every way. That is what we need to start taking a hold of, ladies. There is not one thing that is not under the authority of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk a little bit more. Well, then why does it seem like things get out of control? And why are there bad things that happen? We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But take hold of that. And that was Ephesians 1, 19 through 23. So underline that on your little paper. Okay, so God has set everything under Jesus' feet. He does everything leave anything out? No. And He has made a provision that we who believe should walk in that power and victory. Remember at the very start of it, it said He prayed that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened to his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is for us who believe. Jesus' death and resurrection not only paid the penalty for our sin, it washed us clean and imparted his righteousness to us, but he has given us his Spirit and power to walk in victory. So that brings us to verses 11 and 12. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, and that word struggle is as in wrestling, hand-to-hand, foot-to-foot combat. Our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, people, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Remember the parable of the seeds sown? It's found in Mark 4, 15 through 20. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the world, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for things come in and they choke the word out, making it unfruitful. Others, like the seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what is sown. So there was only one successful group. We have a choice about who we become. Are we going to let the cares of the world, the pressures that come against us, steal the word that has been planted? And we'll go back to the armor. It's not God's plan that we fail. He desires and he exhorts us to recognize who our enemies are. Okay? Back to the armor. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. In verse 11, we were exhorted to put on the full armor of God. Here again, we are told to put on the full armor of God. I am convinced this is emphasized because the Lord knew that our tendency would be to go around not fully clothed, both physically and spiritually. I hope for those of you who had the time to do the study that you began to see how interdependent each piece of the armor is on the other pieces. We begin to see that each part of our armor is reinforced by three things as we go through that study. Our standing in Jesus, our time in the Word, and our time in prayer. Okay? So that was, we begin to understand that each part of our armor is reinforced by those three things: our standing in Jesus, our time in the Word, and our time in prayer. And we could probably add a fourth, that being in fellowship with other believers, because he has told us to not forsake gathering together with other believers, especially as you see the evil days coming. Okay, so even as verse 12 indicated who our struggle is against, verse 13 tells us that the day of evil will come. Why? Because we are engaged in a spiritual battle. Satan decided he wanted to be like God. So every day, his purpose is to discredit God's love and provision for us. His children, even as he did in the garden with Eve. So what did he do? He came to Eve and he said, did God really say? Well, he didn't really mean that. Okay, and what happens with the word? What gets us to compromise so many times? Is that really what that means? It could mean this. You know, when we take it out of context, Satan certainly did that with Jesus in the desert when he tempted him. Okay. But James 1 identifies another purpose for trials of many kinds, telling us to consider it pure joy. Consider it joy when you, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. I mean, that's a pretty strong promise, isn't it? And that's God's intention for allowing difficulties to touch our lives. It's not to defeat us. It's not that we should be overwhelmed. It's so that we can rise up and take hold of Him and learn to apply His truth. As much as I want smooth sailing, I desperately want to be mature and complete and not lacking in anything. Last of all, there is a battle in our hearts, which we'll talk about a little bit more in a few moments. But Jesus said to his disciples in the garden his last night, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's Matthew 26:41. Okay, so what does watch indicate? It means be aware of what's going on around you and inside of you. And pray. Come to the Lord. You know what? Jesus fully understands and accepts our weaknesses. He told us how to deal with our weakness. He told us, pray that you might not enter into temptation. Because I know you want to do what's right, but your flesh is weak, and every now and then it's going to get in the way. But I know, just come back to me. Keep coming back to me. But what do we try? We try to hide those weaknesses, don't we? Yes, we do. So recognize your weaknesses, acknowledge them, stop trying to hide them, and ask for God's help to overcome. I'm reminded of the show The Blind Side, and one of the things that the mom told the guy that they adopted was, you know, that left side is vulnerable, and it's your job to protect that. Well, when we begin to understand that we have a vulnerable side, as we come to the Lord and commit it to Him, then He protects that side. That's His job. But we have to know that we are vulnerable, and we have to be aware, watchful of those things that might try to scoot in there. Ephesians 5:15-17 exhorts, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, verse 13 tells us to put on the armor so that you may be able to resist and stand your ground. And after you have done everything that the crisis demands, to stand. And that's the Amplified version of the Bible's way of talking about it. And then verse 14 tells us, stand firm then. Stand firm then in military terms indicates holding or maintaining your ground, not yielding or fleeing. So as believers, we need to know the truth, which is described as the belt, and it strengthens and protects our core. Okay? And anybody who's into exercise, what are they constantly harping on us? Do your sit-ups. Keep that core strong so that you'll have a healthy back and you can keep, you know, you'll be healthy and moving around all the days of your life. Well, even the world acknowledges that it's necessary to have a strong core. And that's what the belt of truth does for us. Okay. In our study guide, we discovered four elements which make up the belt of truth. And they were Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The Word, which we need to familiarize ourselves with so that we may rightly divide it, not taking it out of context as Satan did. The Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, sent to guide us into all truth. And he came to bring glory to Jesus and takes only what Jesus has for us and gives it to us. And last of all, the church, which is the supporting structure to proclaim the truth that's written in the Word. So that tells us that it's very important that we be aware of the church that we are involved in, that we be going to a Bible-based and teaching church. It says that it is the support and stay of the truth. Even though we're kind of flaky, Jesus gave us this commission and he told us, take the word and spread it to all nations and don't compromise. Okay? So we have to know the word before we can share it with anybody else. So, are you prepared to hold and maintain the ground that God has given you? And as we think about it, you know, God told the Israelites to go in and possess the land. And then they threw lots, and each tribe was given a portion of land that they were supposed to take care of, that they were supposed to maintain. So we have that connection with Joshua. Okay, and the last part of that verse says, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Romans 3, 21 and 22 tells us where this righteousness comes from. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets actually testify to. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So, what is it that clothes us in the breastplate of righteousness? Yes. Faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. It is our belief and acceptance of Jesus as our Savior. Anyone who has accepted him is clothed in the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protects the life-giving organ of the heart in our lives. Jesus told us that the heart is deceitful, that out of it come every kind of evil thought and action. Without him, no one can rise above those evil thoughts and the behavior that results from it. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? And are you cultivating your relationship with him to keep your breastplate intact? Next in God's armor is, and with your feet fitted with the readiness to face the enemy with firm fitted stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. That's the Amplified version again. Again, in military service, special care is given to the stability, support, fit, upkeep, and longevity of the shoes. Every night, those soldiers are told when they're in training, you get in there, you wax, you shine, you polish, you keep those things flexible, you take care of them. If they get wet, you get in there and you grease them back up. And all of that is in order to have that support. It needs to support, yet be flexible enough for many different types of physical activity, ranging from running to mountain climbing to walking on slippery, wet rocks. They must adapt to long hours spent on the feet and need to withstand all types of weather extremes while maintaining comfort for the wearer. Think for a moment of those days when you've been on your feet a great deal. As your feet get tired, what happens to the rest of your body? Weariness sets in. Your whole body begins to wilt, and it affects your concentration and your performance. A hurting soldier is not an effective soldier. So good shoes are necessary for good footing. And this important foundation of shoes is given the role of peace in the armor of God. This peace means quietness and rest to set at one again. Why do we need to be set at one again? Romans 3:23 tells us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And 6:26 tells us the wages of sin is death. So we all have sinned, and unless something happens with that sin, we're going to die. Okay? But 3:23 goes on to say, we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's Romans 5:1. So in order to stand, we have to be in right relationship with God. Right? I mean, if we're going to stand firm, unless you stand firm in me, you won't stand at all. We have to know and accept the truth that sets men free. We all know what it's like not to have peace, don't we? Turmoil is often the rule of thumb in our lives. If we rely on ourselves or our circumstances to provide us with peace, that too will create a rocky road of ups and downs. But Jesus knows. He learned obedience through the things he suffered. The feet also. So suffering, when we are having a rough time, we need only to turn to Jesus. He understands our weakness, and he's mighty to save. The other thing that the feet do is take us from place to place. The Lord desires that we take his message of peace or reconciliation to others, and that's found in 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 21. Jesus told us in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. As we remember and share our heritage in Christ with others, our armor is strengthened. Did you ever think about that? Our armor is strengthened and our faith is constantly renewed, because we're telling others about what God has done in our lives. And we are constantly feeding our minds, our hearts, the truth that God is our Savior in each and every situation. As we remember and share our heritage, blah, 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 and our faith constantly renewed, and the Amplified Bible describes this peace as a tranquil state of soul, assured of its salvation in Christ, fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot. Do you have this peace? I'm working on it. God's armor, verse 16, In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The word shield comes from the Greek word thurios and conveys the idea of a large oblong shield protecting every part of the soldier. This is something the soldier carried with him to protect his whole being. Its very size would indicate strength and fitness of the carrier. Proverbs 35 tells us every word of God is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. So God becomes our shield as we take refuge in him. When we take up the shield of faith, how many flaming arrows can we extinguish? He says, you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows. How? It is our faith in Jesus and our choice to make him our refuge that appropriates that shield. So why do we sometimes feel like those arrows are penetrating? 1 Peter 6:7 explains, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proven genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. This process is often compared to the refining of fine metals. Impurities weaken the metal. Fire is applied to the point to which the impurities rise to the surface and then are skimmed off. What remains is a purified vessel. And God's desire is to purify this vessel. You know, when I got married, I had a knife, a cake knife. And we used it one time. I mean, we spent lots of money on this, but it was washed one time. The next time we took it out to use it, it broke in half because they had used impure metal. If there are impurities in our own lives, we'll snap. We won't be able to stand firm. To stand when those things come against us. So God's desire when those fiery darts seem to penetrate is not, again, to defeat us. It's to bring those things that we may not even be aware of are still there to the surface so that he can clean them off and we will be able to stand firm in him. How many times have we heard on the television of a great preacher or somebody who was hiding a deep, dark secret. And what happened when it was revealed? And could they hide it forever? No, you can't. So you might as well deal with it and not try to hide it because the fall will be far greater if you allow it to go untaken care of. And God wants his children to be successful in him. It's his joy and his delight that we know him and walk with him all of the days of our lives. 1 Corinthians 10:13 conveys four ideas which should give us confidence for walking through trials. Number one, no temptation has seized any of us that is not common to man. Number two, God is faithful. Number three, he will not let us be tempted beyond what we are able. And number four, he will provide a way of escape so that we can stand up under it. In taking up our shield, we would need to remember his faithfulness and watch for the escape hatch. Faith equals a firm persuasion or conviction. That firm conviction is your shield and is cultivated by hearing the word of God. Are you spending time in the word on a daily basis and keeping your shield strong? Verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. A helmet was another strategic part of the soldier's attire. In fact, any activity which put the head at risk of being hit requires a helmet for protection. So, you know, when you ride a bike, when you're out skateboarding, when you're riding a motorcycle, anything that puts the head in a vulnerable position. If the brain is injured, the whole body is at risk. In spiritual matters, the same holds true. If Satan can capture the mind with his lies, he begins to tear down the whole person. As we see with Jesus during his temptation, Satan even twisted the word to his own purposes. So a mandate is established for knowing and rightly dividing the word of truth in our battle with him. This is an area I believe that we as women are particularly vulnerable in. Who among us hasn't replayed that mean thing that somebody said about us or did to us over and over and over again? While we're washing the dishes, while we're driving down the road, to our neighbor. Or we dwell on our aches and pains until we're consumed by them. Or we meditate on what we think would make our lives happier. If I just had this, or if I had that, or I could lose 10 pounds, or if I just only had thicker hair, if it wasn't so curly. You know, these are things that we all deal with one way or the other. But they rob us. They rob us of victory. And they start pulling us down. And so we need to take that helmet of salvation seriously. Romans 12:2 instructs us, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do you want to know God's will? Then be in his word to have your mind transformed. We have discussed that the world is at war against us, always enticing us, trying to get us to feel dissatisfied with what we have so that we will buy more, indulge more, play more, questioning our faith and telling us how rigid, judgmental, and off base we are. Isn't that basically the message that we're getting everywhere today? Right. Satan is always trying. Okay, so that's the world. Satan is always trying to stir up trouble. He's the accuser of the brethren. His plan is to kill and destroy us and our faith and the faith of anybody that we have influence over. Lying is his native tongue, and yet much of the time we don't even question his suggestions. When he tells us that someone looked at us funny, so they must not like us, we agree with him, and we put up barriers and start talking about them, but we never talk with them. Even if they don't like us, Jesus told us to bless those who persecute us, to forgive those who trespass against us, and to forgive as we have been forgiven. Our relationships are important to God. Are you valuing each person as his unique creation, flaws and all? 1 Corinthians 10:3-5 explains, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. In order to do this, we must know the word and counteract the temptation to fall into those things by walking them out. If the word says, love one another, by this they will know you are my disciples, then we need to pray that God will fill us with his love and that we will walk in it. If he says, forgive those who falsely accuse and misuse you, then we need to take him seriously and ask him to help us forgive if it takes the last bit of our energy. To counteract those negative, unhappy thoughts, we need to choose something different. Philippians 4:8-9 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, choose to think on these things. This is how we appropriate the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is our weapon. It is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow, thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And I'm almost done. It is through the Word and prayer that our relationship with the Lord is developed. The more we know Him, the more we love Him. But He is a gentleman and will not force Himself on anyone. So you have to take that first step and come. Ephesians 6:18 tells us to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Prayer is to be our constant companion. All kinds of prayer and all kinds of requests. Always keep on praying. Pray all these scriptures that we have talked about because this is the way the Lord would have us walk. When we read His word and pray it into our hearts, we can know that we are praying in His will and He will answer us because it is consistent with what He has told us. It is our turning to and depending on His word by faith, continuing to develop our relationship with Jesus by trusting and walking in His word as truth, that we will continually walk in His armor. Here we are also once again exposed to the work of the Holy Spirit, whom we have been told in Romans 8:26 and 27, helps us in our weakness, intercedes for us when we don't know what to pray, and He intercedes in the will of God. He is also the source of whatever fruit we are to bear because of His roles as helper, teacher, and as the power of God filling our lives on earth today. As we pray for understanding and practice walking in what we learn, we will be equipped to stand firm and to stand in Him until His return. Father God, we just want to thank You that Your word is living and active. We want to thank You that You are good, that You are our God. You long for us to be in fellowship and relationship with You. Lord, You've given us Your word so that to cover everything. And it never changes. You are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We thank You. We thank You. And we ask as we finish up this evening that we may follow You, that we may walk with You, that we may cultivate that relationship, that we might be strong in Your armor. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, gather up in your little groups and talk about whatever you need to, and I will tell you at 8:25, and you guys can all pray, okay?